everybody this morning, if you would, get your Bibles out with me. Turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 39. We will be there here in just a few moments as we get ready to open up into God's Word. Allow me, if you would, just to have one more prayer over this part of our service. Father God, we just, God, are so blessed to be able to come into the house of God today. We're so thankful, Father, that we're able to come together, united in purpose, in mind, in heart, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Father, to be able to sing our song together, to worship you together, God, is so significant, and we are grateful for that. We pray that, Father, Lord, as we move to this time of the Word, there's an anointing, God, upon my life, an anointing upon the delivery of this message. And I pray, Father, Lord, that there is also an anointing upon the reception of this message, that you would speak to all of our hearts, and that we, God, your people, would yield ourselves to you. I pray, Father, Lord, God, for there just to be an awesome attention here in this place. God, as we hear your word, allow it to speak to us, and as we prepare our minds and our hearts for a time of prayer and a time of communion. Father, Lord, I pray and ask your anointing. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, together we say, amen. Well, so good to see everybody here this morning. If you would, I'm going to go ahead and jump in to God's word. Today is our second week of our series, Survival to Significance. If you missed it for any reason last week, I highly encourage you to go online. You can go to our website. You can go on podcast. You can put in Coweta Assembly. You should be able to pull it up without any issue. It's all free. If you ever have an issue, you can call the office during the week, 9 to 3. Mary, my assistant, would be more than happy to help you with that. But I highly encourage you to listen to it because it builds the foundation for where we're going from week to week. In this series, you will see that we're using the story of Joseph. We believe that the story highly relates to you and I today as we talk about the subject of survival to significance. Now, for those of you that were with me last week, you heard me say that we have all probably at one point in time in our life and probably multiple times over used the phrase, I'm just trying to get by. I'm just trying to keep my head above water. I'm just trying to survive, make it each day at a time. And in one sense, we certainly understand that because I believe our hearts go to Matthew 6:34, where it tells us not to worry and not to worry about tomorrow because today has enough troubles of its own. So we get that 100%. This series is not necessarily just talking about it from that angle. It's talking about coming from the angle and where we would have the mindset, the overall mindset that every day it's just like, oh, I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to make it. I'm just trying to get through. Because if that becomes your overall demeanor and your attitude, you're going to be missing out on what God has for you today. We talked about some things that could possibly be holding you back from. It could be holding you back from reaching your full potential. Again, not just in the future, but what God wants to do in your life right now. Also, that kind of mindset might be holding you back from seeing and walking in the blessings of God that are just before you every day, from seizing the moment that is before you, from recognizing the power of the Holy Spirit that wants to do a work inside of your life, from being used by God each and every day. Ultimately, it might be holding you back from thriving in your relationship with God and understanding the significance of what He desires to do in you, for you, and through you in your life. So church, you know this, God has more in store for us, for His people, than to just simply sit back and survive. God wants us to thrive, right? Thrive in who we are in Christ. Thrive in our worship. Thrive in our prayer. Thrive in understanding Him and the Holy Spirit working in and through us. Thrive in our homes and our families. Thrive in our careers and in our purpose that God has placed in our lives. Thrive as we come together as church, as God's people, as His family. Amen. When we come together, this place ought to be thriving with an energy that can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what God desires for us. We know some of those foundational scriptures, John chapter 10, verse 10. You know it, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy all that God would have for us. But Christ came that we may have life and have it abundantly. And also the prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians. I think I accidentally put Colossians last week on the PowerPoint. I caught myself this week. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, at the end of his prayer, he says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. He goes on to say, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Those scriptures and many more are all about living a significant life in and through Christ. And that's what God has for every single one of us. So the heart of our series is about walking and thriving in the daily purpose that God has planned for our lives, also in the daily blessings that are always before us while giving him the glory all along the way. Now again, last week we began to unfold the story of Joseph as we come to this thought of survival to significance. And although it's really centuries removed from us, it's so relatable. And so we're kind of laying out, just in a slow, methodical way, we're laying out a blueprint of how to thrive daily in God's presence, in God's purpose. So last week, as we went to Genesis 37, we saw the beginning of his story. There was two things that we brought out. I'm not going to re-preach those. I just want to give them to you. The first one was the atmosphere of your home matters. The second one was understanding your family dynamic is highly beneficial. That's why I really encourage you to go and listen to that particular message, because everything else will soon fade away. What really matters is what's happening in your home. If you're going to get anywhere, your home life matters. What's going on in your personal space, in your personal time, we really built that as we talked about Joseph's story. So today we're going to pick it up, chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, verse number 1. Let's read together. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt. Remember, his brothers, jealous, hated him, dug a pit, threw him into it, was later going to go back and get him. But by that time, the Midianites had already taken him out of that and sold him into slavery. Now, Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and in his fields. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and in appearance. And after a time being in his master's house, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said to him, "Lie with me." But he refused. And he said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. And he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment. And she was saying to him once again, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand, and he fled, and he got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and that he had fled from the house, she called to the men of her household, and she said to them, "See, he has brought among us this Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as I heard that I lifted up my voice and I cried out, he left his garment beside me, and he fled, and he got out of the house." And she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the very same story, saying, "This Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us, he came in to laugh." And some of your scriptures, and I like the words better there, it says to mock or make sport of, to make sport of me. "But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and he fled from the house." Now, as soon as the master heard the words that his wife had spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treating me," Scripture says that his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. We'll stop just for a moment. Now, from being betrayed and abandoned by his own family, as we see the story unfold, Joseph is now being betrayed, he's being falsely accused, and he's been imprisoned by the family in which he has served and served well. And because so, he has caused blessing to not only come upon himself, but also come upon Potiphar and all that he has. Now, we kind of step back at the moment and we might ask ourselves the question, is it time just to go into survival mode? I mean, is it time just to stop and even stop trying to pursue what we believe God placed in our heart? I mean, my family, they have hated me. My family has abandoned me. I've been sold into slavery. Here I am now. I've tried to do well. I've tried to do the right thing. I've treated everybody the way I'm supposed to treat them. I've not done anything wrong against anyone. And now here I am being thrown into prison. For some of us, we might have stepped back and said, you know what? It's time to go into survival mode. Just wake up each day, don't say much, do what I'm supposed to do, keep my mouth shut, don't worry about purpose or anything like that, just get by from day to day. If Joseph had any notion to give up on living in the significance of God's purpose and his blessing in the plan that he had placed upon his life, this may have been the justifiable moment in the eyes of many of us. We may have given Joseph room to complain a little even right here. If anybody had a reason to complain, any reason to step back and say, I don't know about all of this, this might have been that moment. For you and I, if we put ourselves in his shoes, this may have been the moment that you and I would have said, you know what, I'm done with trying to even do this anymore. I'm just going to try to make it. But as we see in the story, for Joseph, it was not. Because you're going to see here, he did not give in to life's adversity. He did not cave in to any heaviness that he may have felt. He did not become bitter. He didn't become angry. He didn't even become vengeful in his spirit. He did not become numb to the world and just try to survive each day. He didn't give up on his faith, or he didn't even begin to come hard-hearted towards God. So many of us, when we go through heaviness one thing after another, we have this working in our spirit, and it's really not a good thing that's working within us, and we even get a little bit cold and hard and numb towards God himself because of what is happening in our lives. But Joseph, he did not. What did he do? He kept pushing on, and he kept growing in his faith and in his purpose. Let me keep reading Genesis 39. Let's pick it up there in verse number 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Man, what an awesome story and what awesome life lessons that we gain from this young man, Joseph, who wasn't just going to survive, but he was going to live in the significant promise and blessing, and he believed in the dream that God had placed within his spirit. Couple things I want to just give you today as we add to the blueprint here. Daily thriving in God's purpose. The first one is this. What you cannot control, you should not allow to have control over you. Let that sink in. There's a part of me that says, let's pray right now and come to the altar. What you cannot control, you should not allow to have control over you. Yes, Joseph may have been unwise in revealing his dreams to his family as he did, but remember, his brothers already had hatred for him in their hearts. You see, Joseph could not control his father's favoritism. Joseph could not control his brother's hatred. Joseph could not control being betrayed and abandoned by his own family. Joseph could not control being thrown into the pit. Joseph could not control being taken and sold into slavery. Joseph could not control being bought by Potiphar and placed in his home as a servant. Joseph could not control many of the events that led to where he was at this time in his life. Church, how many of you know there are moments, and just as Joseph, there are seasons in life where things may unfold that directly impact us that we have absolutely no control over. All of us have those things happen in our lives. It's not just happened once, it's probably happened numerous times. And it will continue to happen because that's just the life in which we live. There are many things that we can control, but there are several things that we cannot. And no matter what it may be, we should not allow those things to control who we are in Christ. It's in these seasons that we have to determine in our heart to carry on in God's purpose for our life, to determine not to give in or give out. We have to determine not allow these things that we cannot to control us. We have to understand how to handle life's adversities. You know, I think about the different things that happen in people's lives. I think about the different reports that people get. Just this past week, good friends of ours here in our church, remember Tommy Drywater, who used to walk the streets and drink his Mountain Dew? His parents, I talked to them this week, and they're super faithful to our church. But this past week, Johnny was diagnosed with cancer. Now, he's a healthy individual. He doesn't go to the doctor. He hadn't had any issues in his life. But he's got this, now this report of cancer in his life. Can I tell you, for some of us, we may step back and say, you know what, that's going to be what it is now. That's going to be my every thought, and that's going to begin to control me. Can I tell you, that's not their heart's desire. Their heart's desire is they're going to give it to the Lord. They're going to let go. They're going to give it to God, and they're going to trust God to do an awesome, miraculous work in his life. They don't know the final outcome, but they know who does know, and that is Jesus Christ. That is God the Father. So we're not going to allow a negative report to control how we're going to continue to move on in life. There are just certain things we cannot control. We all will have physical issues in our life. We will all have things unfold in our life that we absolutely maybe didn't even see coming. How we respond to that is vitally important on how we're going to move forward past that. Because if we're not careful, we'll just kind of stay there. We have many in our church this past year. I think about our brother David Killian. I mean, been in the hospital now since beginning before Thanksgiving. But yet there were moments when we looked at it and said, man, it's bleak. It doesn't look good. But we gave it to God. He's coming out of that. God is healing him, and he'll be back in church before you know it. Praise God. Amen. Because we give those things to God. Talking to Glenda Holmes in the hospital this weekend. She's already had a surgery to help remove some blockage. She keeps battling. She's got pneumonia. And her and I were just talking. And as you listen to her voice, you hear it in her voice. We're going to trust God no matter what's happening right now. He's been faithful all her life, and he will continue to be faithful. So what's going to control us? Our faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith in God. Now, sometimes there are things, you know, that maybe we could control. Well, that's just where we've got to grow in wisdom. We got to grow in maturity, and we got to walk through those things as well. But we don't allow those things to control who we are in Christ. Church, you know this. Good things will come to those who stay the course with God's purpose and plan. I know there's moments when you just want to step back. I know there's moments when you just want to say, I'm just not going to do much more. I'm just going to try to survive. Well, that's not thriving. But if you'll just carry on and keep doing what God has placed within you, good things will come. I want to take you for a moment to Psalm 37. This was written by David in his elder years, probably not too long before he passed. And he is addressing the outcome of those who stay the course and do what is right versus those who do not. In this psalm, he will ask the question, why does it seem that the righteous have to suffer and go through all of these things while the wicked seemingly they just flourish and everything goes right for them? He's kind of weighing this out as he writes this psalm. I'm going to give you just a snapshot of it. Let's look at what he writes, Psalm 37, verse 1. He says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass, and they will wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you your desire's heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." He says, be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers and all of that, it'll be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will be the ones who will inherit. Some of your versions say they will be the ones who will possess the land. They will receive God's promise. Why? Because they carried on and they trusted God. Great psalm here to utilize in your prayer time, especially if you're in a moment or in a season where there's things you cannot control and it seems like they're getting the best of you. This is a great psalm to go to. David tells us, don't fret, don't worry, don't be anxious. Don't get hatred inside of you. Don't get anger. Don't let it build up. Don't get this vengeful spirit. But instead, he said, trust the Lord, continue to do good, delight yourself in the Lord, commit your way and everything you have to him. Be still, let go, be patient, and wait for God to act on your behalf. That's a powerful lesson that all of us need to obtain. You see, not allowing uncontrollable circumstances to control you is about keeping the right spirit within, which allows you to have the proper perspective, the right attitude, and your resolve will certainly stay on course. Now, although dealing with his situation long before David ever penned this psalm, Joseph demonstrates these truths to you and I very beautifully and how he chose to respond to the things that he could not control. You see, Joseph, he teaches us, keep your mind in the right place. Keep your character in check. Stay on course. Don't allow wrongful circumstances in this life to control how you are going to move ahead. Just keep your trust in the Lord and wait for Him to move on your behalf. That's good for all of us, right? We have all been in those moments where we could not control. And probably some of us have done well, and there are other times we didn't do so well. Let me say it like this. We've all at some point done well, but we've all at some point not handled it so well. We've allowed it to work inside of us. If we're not careful, those things we cannot control, we could get a vengeful spirit. We could have this attitude inside of us. We could have this anger boiling up within. Can I tell you, it is important to get a hold of that. Keep those things in check. Keep that proper perspective like Joseph did by saying, I'm going to allow God to be the one that moves me forward in life no matter what. Powerful things that he teaches here, but it leads us into the next thing, and that is this. Be prepared to be tested. All right? Be prepared to be tested in life. It's just a part of life. Now, we understand that tests are given and they are allowed by God for our benefit. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse number 3, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, we've read that scripture many times over the past, I've been here 25 years. I know I've used that scripture a lot. You used it a lot. And still, for some of us, it's hard to say, rejoice in the sufferings. Pastor, I've read it. I've prayed over it. I've done what the Mrs. Pastor said. I've prayed over it. I've written down little cue cards, note cards. I got them posted here and there. And I am going, the next time I go through a trial, a test, or suffering, however you want to word it, the next time I go through that, I will rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. And then it happens, and it just seems like your rejoice doesn't quite have the right attitude. Right? Well, let me help you. We do not rejoice in the trial itself. We don't rejoice in the negative report itself. We don't report in whatever uncontrollable circumstance that's working against you in a difficult way. We don't rejoice in just that itself. What Scripture is telling us is that we rejoice in the fact that because of this trial, you and I are going to be drawn closer to the Lord, and through that, we are going to grow in who we are within. We rejoice because we have an opportunity to get a little bit wiser, a little bit stronger, to have a little bit more resolve within us. We rejoice because our character, our attitude, our demeanor, the way we hold ourselves, it has an opportunity to flourish and thrive and grow in moments like this. When you really push yourself, that's when you really start to thrive. And that's what this scripture is saying. That's what we rejoice in. So you don't rejoice, oh, I got a negative report. You rejoice in the fact that, okay, Lord, it's bad, it's not good, but here we go, another chance to grow in you. If we have that attitude, we're going to move forward, okay. This is what's happening to Joseph. He's being tested. How he responds determines what's going to be next for his life. If growth takes place in his character and in his faith, he's going to move forward just fine. If no growth was taking place in Joseph, what's going to happen? His struggle is going to be prolonged even further. You see, there's an opportunity to grow here. You know, let me stay right here just for a moment. Some of us prolong our struggles, and the reason it is not by God's choice. It's because we're not choosing to grow. Right? You think, one of the things that people are constantly talking about is their finances. And when I say that, you're thinking, oh, don't go there, Pastor. Don't go there. Touchy subject, your finances. You know, and you're constantly praying. You're constantly believing, oh, God. And we pray that prayer, oh, God, if you'll just give me $10 million, I'll give it all away. I mean, I'll give a lot of it away. I mean, I'll give my tithes. I'll give some of it away. But, God, if you just let me win that. You know, so a constant struggle. And on a serious note, the financial issues is one of the number one things that causes division within homes. Between husband, between wife, between kids, just life itself. And in some of those moments, they're controllable. We all know that we have to live within our means. Most of us choose not to anyway. Sometimes the issues are because we're just not being wise stewards. Sometimes it's uncontrollable circumstances. But whatever it is in that moment, that trial, that test, God is maybe using you to grow you in that area, to help you in that area. He wants you to thrive in that area of your life. And so you may be going through a test, but God is saying, come on now, I want you to see what I want you to go through in order so the next time around, you're going to handle this much better. I was talking with one of our individuals. They come in this week, and they were talking about, someone had asked them about tithing. And so they began to share with me the story, and we were having a little fun with it as they were telling me, because it reminded me of a story that I had read in one of Robert Morse's book. I used it in the series Live to Give. And I believe this happened to him as he was a pastor. There was an individual in his church, and he didn't make a lot of money, but he was a tither. And so his tithe would be $50. And so he was excited about giving that $50. As life went on, he began to be really successful in what he did, and his paycheck looked quite a bit different. It even got to the point where his tithe was $5,000. Well, the man struggled with that. You know, the pastor tells a story. He began to struggle with that, and so he set up a time where he could meet with the pastor, and he comes in and says, look, pastor, when I was having a tithe $50, man, I was good. I didn't have any problem. There was nothing in my spirit that said not to do that. I could do that, and I was grateful for it. He goes, but $5,000 is a lot of money. $5,000 is a lot of money, and I'm just having trouble in my spirit. Is this the right thing to do? And he was really wavering back and forth on what to do, and it really kind of brought him some, you know, discouragement in his life because he just wanted to handle it correctly. So they go on with their conversation, and the individual tells Pastor, can we pray about this? Pastor, certainly. So the pastor prays over him, and I think many of you know this story. And what does the pastor pray? He's like, Lord, help my brother go back in his finances where he only has to pay $50 in his tithes. You get it, right? Man, if you can pay $5,000 in tithes, praise the Lord, amen. Rejoice in that, because the other side of that, the other 90% of that ought to look pretty good. If we're not growing in that, though, now we have fun with that story. But how many of us just prolong one struggle after another because we choose not to grow? You always struggle with your finances? Ask yourself a question. Is God trying to show you something, and are you growing with that? You're always struggling with relationships. You're always having an issue with people. God is trying to maybe teach you something on how to better yourself in dealing with others. You always have this frustration inside. You have this anger building up within. You have all this going on. You're always dealing with that. God is probably trying to reveal to you something that has changed within you. So as you move forward, instead of just surviving through those moments, you can thrive and be the better you. That's what happens here. You see, Joseph had already displayed strong faith and character and how he embraced being a servant in Potiphar's house. You think about it. His trust in the Lord did not waver. His honesty and his integrity, it shined through. His work ethic was phenomenal as he served the people that he was to minister to. In a spiritual sense, he held himself as a Lord's servant instead of Potiphar's. And in doing that, and having that mindset, the Lord blessed him. And not only did the Lord bless him, but bless Potiphar and all those in which he served. You see, when it came time for Potiphar's wife to tempt Joseph to go and have a sexual relationship with her, Joseph was prepared for the test. I want you to go back to Scripture, because I want you to see it in Scripture. In his statement he makes to her during the very beginning of the temptation, as soon as we see the temptation unfold, you see that he has already made up his mind in moments like this because of how he responds to her. And go back to what the scripture said. He said, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. He has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. And then notice what he ends with. He says, how then can I do this great wickedness, and how could I sin against God? In that statement itself, Joseph was proclaiming, I'm prepared for this, I'm ready for this, and I will not fail the test that is before me, and through this, God will also see me through. He demonstrates the value in preparing our mind and our heart before we're ever faced with the test of temptation or whatever the test may be. Also notice, however we have prepared ourselves within, that's eventually what's going to be revealed in our attitude, in our words, and in our actions. You see, I believe if Joseph was sitting in church today, and this is a shout out to Michelle's announcement, It's not in my notes, it just comes in my spirit. But if he was sitting in our service today and he saw the announcement of prayer, he'd say, I'm in on that. If he saw the announcement of bettering himself, he'd say, I'm in on that. If he saw the announcement of something like, hey, let's do something where we grow together, he's going to be in on that. Why? Because he was a man who knew how to prepare himself before he was ever faced with the battles, those he knew that were coming and those that he did not know. And because he had prepared himself in prayer, because he had prepared himself in his commitment to the Lord, because he had prepared himself in believing in the dream that God placed in his spirit, because he had prepared himself when life came at him and came at him hard, he was ready to respond, and he did it in a valiant way. And all of that that was inside of him, that's what came out. But if you are not preparing yourself in such a way, and there's frustration, and there's anger, and there's a little bit of spite, if that's what's inside of you, that's what's going to come out. If you're always lashing out in an angry, frustrated way, because that's what's inside of you. If you're always fearful, and you always have a lot of worry, and you always have a lot of anxiety, and that just seems to be what really comes out of you, because that's what's going on inside of you. Instead of you're preparing yourself to have no fear and have courage and be bold and have the faith that the scripture talks about, you're not going there, and for some reason you're building that inside of you, and so all of that's coming out. Whatever test you go through in life, whatever you've been preparing for within, that's what's going to come out when you face it. That's important for us to realize, right? What we do to prepare ourselves within is incredibly important. They reveal what is really going on in our heart. And if we don't handle it so well, okay, what do we do next time? We use this as an opportunity to grow. In one of my books that I have, it's Scott Wilson. He's the pastor at the Oaks down in Texas. He wrote a book called The Next Level, and I love this quote. He says, we're like sponges. When difficulties squeeze us, the actual content of our hearts come pouring out. In those moments of self-revelation, we come face to face with the truth about our spiritual condition. God loves us, but he's much more committed to developing our character than protecting our comfort. Allowing us to be squeezed from time to time gives us the opportunities to make corrections in our attitude and in our actions. So yeah, when it comes along, we're not always super excited about it. But when it does, use that moment to better yourself in Christ. And that's what Joseph teaches us. Just as I said in the early service, I wasn't sure if I was going to bring this portion out, but I'm going to, because I just wrote down some questions here about when you're tested in life. Do you fail that because you just start casting blame on everyone but yourself? Are you that individual that just throws it out there and you never can see what's really going on within? Do you attempt to ignore the test, try to hide them, just try to run from them? You make excuses and go around acting as though life is not just treating you fair, and you want everybody to jump on the bandwagon with you that life hasn't treated you fair. Do you get emotionally worked up? Again, becoming angry, resentful, discouraged, fearful, defeated, hurt, whatever that may be. So many people today, I think, use that in a way. I know hurt is real, but it's like people are looking for a reason to be hurt or offended. Well, that hurts. I'm offended. And they're just looking for a reason because that's what's going on inside of them. Do you try and distract yourself from life's trials by doing such things as putting your concentration on food and you end up overeating, spending money on stuff that you don't really need? The younger generation perhaps binge watching movies and TV. Not that that's necessarily bad if that's one of your outlets that you like to do, but do you kind of sometimes, instead of dealing with a trial, you just put yourself in a different situation? Isn't that why people start depending on alcohol, using prescription drugs, illegal drugs? Isn't that why many people, men and women, begin to go towards pornography, to put their mind in a different place, to find their pleasure somewhere, to get their minds off of other things? Think about it. I know that's really getting to where you're at right now. But think about it. When we're tested, do we try to cover it all up with all those things? Or do we allow ourselves to be open for God? Do we get ourselves vulnerable before God? And do we ask him to do a work inside of us to show us where our heart's really at, our minds were really at? Do we ask God to show us how to really build that character within? Because when we choose to do that, that's when we're going to be able to pass those tests and we're going to be able to move forward. And that's what's happening to Joseph. You see, Joseph had already determined in his heart that he would commit his life to the Lord. And in doing so, not only would he adequately be prepared for what was coming up next, he would valiantly pass them. Now, as we get ready to go into communion and close, I'm going to stop with the story right there. Some of you would say, Pastor, that's really all good, and man, I'm with you. Man, that's pretty good stuff. I can take that this morning. But didn't he still end up in prison? He did, but what did chapter 39, verses 21 through 23 tell us? That even in prison, the Lord blessed him. The keeper of the prison said, we don't need watchdogs on him. We don't need any guards on him. Just let him do what he wants to do. I mean, God is with this guy. Even in that moment, God was still with him. As we slowly continue to build this blueprint, there are so many great truths that Joseph teaches you and I on how we handle our life today. Amen. I'll ask you this question. What moment or what season are you in life today? And are you really allowing God to develop you, to help you get to a place where you're ready for the next thing that he's got planned for you? Because God wants to do something significant in your life today.